This podcast is brought to you by Australia's LGBTQIA+ community media organisation, Joy. Keep Joy on air by becoming a member, a subscriber, or donate. Head to joy.org.au. Joy, a diverse sound for a diverse community.
The Cubby House is a show about three cub-identifying guys exploring the big and hairy issues in and around the bear community.
This program is designed for a mature audience. It may contain sex and drug references and drag and adult themes and drag. Listener discretion is advised.
So get up your ass and be upstanding for the Kings and Queens on the Cubby House live.
Welcome to the Cubby House for the 5th of December. I'm Cookie.
I'm Jack.
And I'm Kevin.
And tonight we would like to thank the Spirit Land for another wonderful show and give you tonight's show for us called Bending the Rules.
Yeah, it's a show about drag. I mean, we've been doing this show for, say, about 3 years now and we haven't really touched upon drag. Well, how could we have missed it?
We kind of have, because if you listen back to all our previous debates, we've always had a drag artist on. Usually it's been Kay Sarah, who's going to be joining us on the show tonight.
What's that? A shameless plug for our podcast, if ever I heard one.
Yes, I know.
How can they hear it?
They can go to thecubbyhouse.net.au for all the details.
Now, going back to what we originally intended on doing on today's show, which isn't just trying to sell our own swag, we're talking about drag, and bears and drag have a rather mixed relationship, particularly in Melbourne. They don't really see eye to eye.
Well,
mostly because of, you know, the fact that the drag queen's heels are fairly tall. Have you ever actually stood next to a drag queen? Even I look up.
Waka waka.
Now, there is an exception to this that we know of, at least, and that is someone like the Sisters of Perpetual Indulgence team up with the bear clubs to raise money for charities and so forth.
I mean, you get that in Perth, you've got that. So I'm not too sure about Sydney, but certainly in San Francisco, in Chicago, in Seattle, that the two groups work together in harmony in doing the common good. But in Melbourne, it's Clash of the Titans!
Yes. Well, why do you think that is? We'd like to know from you tonight, what do you think Melbourne has, from the bears to the drag? What's the big issue?
Okay, way to deviate from our script. Thank you.
It is the script, just reworded completely wrong.
No, that was an open question for us to discuss amongst ourselves.
Oh, right. Well, there you go.
Our actual SMS topic for tonight's show is... Just strike that last one from the record. What is the best drag you know? That is, what is the best drag name you know? And there's so many out there, and there's so many good ones.
And Jack, how can they let us know about all these ways to contact us for this question?
You can send in your SMSs to 0427JOY949.
You can email onair@joy.org.au.
Join us on Facebook at facebook.com/thecubbyhouse.
Don't forget the Joy 94.9 app on smartphone near you.
Okay, so there you go. There's all the ways you can contact us to tell us the answer to the question, what is the best drag name you know?
So what do we have coming up on today's program?
First up, we have one of my favorite drag performers, Kay Sarah.
Woohoo!
And she'll be joining us for a section called Whatever Will Be, Will Be.
But we also have a very special person in the studio. I'm not talking about short bus sort of special, but the really special. We've got Rocco D'Amore in the studio today. Hello.
How you doing?
We'll be having a conversation with you in our second and third part of our show today.
And we've also got a very interesting listener of the week that I didn't know used to do drag, so stay tuned for that and much, much more on The Cubby House tonight.
What are we waiting for? Let's go on with the show.
We've added just a little touch of lace to our program today. Well, a little bit of lace, maybe hair that rivals Marge Simpson and makeup, which is several inches thick.
Don't forget the 4 cans of hairspray.
At least.
for those who haven't worked out who it is yet, it is the wonderful Kay Sarah.
Oh, hello. How are you?
Wonderful, wonderful. Now,
isn't that funny? You mentioned that hairspray. That is so true. It has to be extra firm hold. And I go through it by the can.
Now, for those who haven't heard this voice before with the Cubby House, you may have not listened to all the debates we've had because Kay Sarah has been our honorary drag queen for all of them.
Oh, so please, that's lovely.
And what a wonderful job she's done on all of them.
Please.
Thank you.
Feel free to listen to all the wonderful laughs she's made. However, it's not to talk about what you have done with us, but what you have done for yourself, Kay.
Mm.
We're wondering, where did you start all those years ago?
Oh, gosh. It's such a silly story. Well, in the very, very, very early days, I don't know, 15 years back, maybe even more, when Bent TV was on Channel 31, and there was no digital television, so everybody tuned in to watch this alternative television station, and I started out doing film reviews on Bent TV. Oh. And then I was poached by Joy Melbourne, and so then I became a voice. I think it's quite funny for a drag queen.
So for anyone that hasn't had the pleasure of you...
Well, there aren't many, darling. No.
The divine presence, must we say.
Yes.
Yes.
What would you say are your defining features? What puts you head over heels over head of all the other drag queen drag acts around?
Well, it is true that drag queens try and find their own look and try and, you know, find their own style and everything. And Well, what I've tried to do is, for some, I don't know why, but I think that the higher the hair, the closer to God, basically. So I like really big, big hair. At the moment, I'm very fond of fairy floss pink hair. It has to be done up in a huge, big do, a big bouffant. And for many, many years, I've been really fond of the padded pussy bow and stretch lycra.
Oh.
And largely because I'd like to think that I kind of pioneered, I kind of invented that look for myself, so I tend to hold on to it. I mean, I get so many people coming up and saying, you must move on, Kay, it's not glamorous enough, and I don't know, I've kind of found, I just like those things for want of, I don't know why, who knows.
So after so many years, how big's your wardrobe?
Oh, well, actually, I had a big clear out, 8 months ago, so I did throw out a lot of things, but I still have outfits, pussy bow outfits, that I made 10 years ago. So, because the thing about lycra is it just doesn't die. It gets, kind of loses its stretch, which is a little bit kind of unfortunate. I always thought that my stretch lycra is a lot like my act. It's just got a lot slacker, basically.
Now, personally, I think there's pretty much two different types of drag in the world. That you've got good drag, and then you've got bad drag. And bad drag is just a man in a dress and maybe a little bit of lipstick just yelling obscenities at the audience for about an hour and a half. But I'm sure that you'd have a bit of a nuanced approach to the different camps of drag out there in Melbourne.
It is true. I try not to value judge because I think that at the end of the day, you know, drag is a calling, and you know, those that kind of dabble, and then there's those of us that kind of have made a bit of a living out of it, and well, more importantly, have used it to link in with their community. That's certainly been my experience. But no, it is true. But you know, I mean, I think it's interesting because really, I mean, drag. You know, if you go back to the radical days of the early 70s. There was moustached drag. So you had drag queens who kept their facial hair. You know, they'd use a lot of glitter and a lot of makeup and certainly a lot of, you know, over-the-top clothes, but they kind of, I guess the thing was that you should see the man underneath all of that. And that's kind of gradually, I think it's being more refined to the drag that we know now, certainly for the drag queens that work now. And they're kind of like, of course it's a parody of feminine wiles, you know, I mean, it's a parody of femininity and a bit of a cartoonish parody, I guess, at that. But, it, you know, it's like that. There aren't a lot of moustached drag queens around at the moment. I mean, I can't try and keep my moustache intact, I can tell you.
All right. Okay, so what type of experiences have you had with Melbourne's bear community?
Well, apart from the fact that I've been invited to perform a couple of times, not really perform, but to participate in a few bear events at the Laird. And of course, I've had many of my friends are from the bear community. Just when I say friends, you know, they know of me through Joy, and I know of them through Midsummer or Pride March or just seeing them around. So, and I guess that would be my main. I once wrote this article for one of those little free magazines, and I felt obliged to use a pseudonym because it was an article about one of the bear events that was coming up with Southern Hibernation, I think. And, yeah, I felt I used a pseudonym. I was a drag queen in cognito, which was kind of a great fun.
I mean, from a management perspective of Vic Bears, one of the things that we hear time and time again, people have rather fond memories of it would have been winter in about 2002, when you sort of got dressed up in all of your drag wear and you were leading a company of bears all around Australia. No, not Australia. Melbourne Zoo. And I was just like, how awesome was that?
How about that? For bears to be at the zoo, how appropriate. I know. I do feel it is funny that, I mean, I spend most of my life trying to get rid of my body hair and trying to, you know, disguise any remnants of masculinity that I have, whereas the fabulous bear community really do try and, you know, embrace that.
Oh, stop. And I mean stop. We're running out of time.
You do. It's marvellous. You must do more of it.
Okay. We love you.
Yeah.
Even if you don't have any hair. Now, do you have any shows coming up?
Oh, I'm working on, we do actually, we weren't going to do anything for Midsummer next year, and my friend Luke Gallagher and the fabulous Dolly Diamond and the wonderful John Jackson and I, we're all doing a cabaret concert at the Positive Living Centre, and it's a big fundraiser for the Positive Living Centre. It's called the Red Ribbon Cabaret on the 28th of January. It's part of Midsummer. We were literally going to do nothing for Midsummer, and I had this idea. I thought, this is crazy, why don't we just do this? And we'll do it as a bloody big fundraiser, which is what we're doing. So I think that'll be great. I mean, it will be inspired. We're calling it a celebration of the strength of community because it's called the Red Ribbon Cabaret. You know, I mean, I think HIV and AIDS is very solemn and very reverential, but we thought there's also a lot of strength and inspiration in, you know, the HIV era. So that's what we're responding to. I hope people will come along and, you know, all of the money goes to the Positive Living Centre. So it's a fundraiser in the true sense of the word.
Well, with the talent that you have, it seems like positively Liberace squared that you've got going on there. But we've run out of time for you today, Kay, but we do appreciate you coming onto the show ever so much.
Oh, well, thank you. It's been a pleasure.
This is the Cubby House on Joy 94.9. This is our show, Bending the Rules. We're talking about drag today. Can you believe it?
Well, yes, I've read the script, so yes.
Well, we do have an SMS topic that's going on today, and our SMS topic is, what is the best drag name you know? And the responses have just exploded.
Do join us on facebook.com/thecubbyhouse to find out all the answers that we've come up with so far, and please add more.
Jack, just go through a few of some of the good ones.
Well, my personal favourite is Gingivitis. I think that's one that I'm going to have to take for myself.
Kendall's actually got a couple of good ones. There's Isaacite, Misdemeanor, and Tess Tickle, just to mention a few.
Oh, and Wilma Fingerdo.
But we'll go through a few more of those later on in the show. On tonight's show, we do have a question, which is, what do you think is the best drag name? And Cookie, how can they get hold of us?
You can SMS 0427 Joy 949.
Or you can email the show on air at joy.org.au.
Facebook on facebook.com/thecubbyhouse.
Don't forget to check out our blog and live journal at thecubbyhouse.net.au.
All right, and some of the funny ones that we've had come through to us. We've had Shane from Sydney say, head of lettuce.
Oh, it's not the best one that I've heard.
Not the best one, but
it's not getting the Kobe House trophy, but we do have Caffe Latte. Oh, that's not so good either.
Well, what about Mac Yato?
Yeah, that's just as bad. Yeah. I like this one from George in Sydney, who's got Duty Free.
He also has Anaphylaxis.
That's a common one. We've got Philippa Box from Michael, also from Sydney. This is from Sydney.
No. Matt from Victoria also says Ophelia Cox.
Wonderful. Thank you. Now, joining us in the studio tonight, who thankfully could be here almost couldn't be here due to circumstance, we invite Rocco Damore. Hello.
Hello there, boys. How you doing?
I'm nervous now. We've got so many more butch in the studio than us.
Yeah, we're about to be outmanned, men, gentlemen.
Mm. Now, what was the reason you almost couldn't be here tonight, just before we go on?
Oh, you don't want me to go into that now, do you really?
Well, the name of which arrived from why you may not have been here was pretty interesting.
All right. So my girlfriend had a incident at work where she had a anaphylactic shock and had to be treated, and I was quite concerned, so I was prepared to run by her side.
Right.
And so when I came in, I said to you guys, hey, what about this for a drag name? Anaphylactic.
I like it.
It's different. We've had a few, been suggested, but yes. We are glad you joined us for tonight's show regardless. So thank you very much.
Thanks for inviting me.
So where did you start? Where did you get your footing in the door as Rocco Damore?
Well, there are two stages to that. If we go back pre-Rocco, it would have to have been when I was around about 13 years old, and it was the 80s, and I was in love with George Michael, and I would stay home from school and I would get dressed up in my dad's suits and get my mother's makeup and put on a 5 o'clock shadow and stand in front of the mirror miming to Careless Whisper.
Ooh, nice.
And then several decades later, the opportunity came up for me to actually take it out into the stage, into the real world.
Wonderful. So what would the difference, as we've just recently spoken to Kay, talking about drag queens, what's the difference between drag queens and drag kings?
Basically, I see it like this. Drag queens play it up and a drag king plays it down.
Ooh.
Now, I remember quite clearly from our debate that we had in 2009, I'd imagine that a lot of drag kings would stuff their crotches, but you actually have a synthetic phallus, a flaccid phallus.
Yes, a prosthetic, the real deal. It's probably about this long.
That's not very helpful for everybody listening at home.
Like fish stories. It was this big.
Look, let's just say it was big enough to be intimidating, especially since it was flaccid.
Yes, it's cut. It's got balls. It's pinky in flesh. It's very soft, and it's a good face slapper.
Is that mostly what you use it for?
I do. I have many times ripped it out and slapped someone in the audience with it.
So is it predominantly a confidence thing, or...?
It's just an ego thing. Come on.
Well,
I'm Italian guy.
Oh, Sigmund Freud would have a field day with you.
And we were going to ask, how does your audience respond to your show? So how exactly do they respond to seeing this turkey slapping?
They think it's hysterical. Then they run because they think that I'm going to come and attack them, which I usually do.
So they're running away from you, not towards you?
Both.
Now, it's fairly common to hear that from women that drag queens play negative stereotypes of women. How do men tend to respond after seeing your shows?
Well, if we're talking about the heterosexual man, they're quite confused. And if we're talking about the gay man, they're utterly disappointed that I'm actually not real.
Oh. I was going to say, they're probably confused as well.
Yes, I'm sure they are.
I've had many a gay boy come up to me and say, I can't believe that you're not a guy.
Wonderful. Now, we'll be back to talk with you in just after a few more segments. Stay tuned for more Rocco Damore and our Listener of the Week coming up in just a few moments. You are with the Cubby House on Joy 94.9, and we are now joined by our wonderful man of the minute, Kendall, who was happy to have these interviews done earlier this week.
What's your name?
Kendall.
Your age?
36.
Are you available or unavailable?
Very unavailable.
If you could have any superpower, what would it be?
The power to heal.
What is your ideal employment?
Not what I'm doing right now.
I love it. Where is the weirdest place you've had sex?
I'm actually quite boring, but I'd probably have to say in my best friend's parents' bedroom.
What is your favourite item of clothing?
Jocks.
Who would you most like to have sex with if you could have sex with anyone in the world?
Just the one that I'm with.
Oh, how disgusting.
I know. Get your insulin.
Would you date yourself and why?
No, because I'm actually quite boring.
I was going to say high maintenance, but all right.
Yeah, I'm not high maintenance. I just need lots of things all the time.
Of course you do. All right, sexually, what melts your butter?
That's a hard one because there's too many. a great smile.
What's the one thing you couldn't live without?
Coffee.
I thought you were going to go for the sickly cloy sweet one again.
Yeah, no, okay. I've already done that, so we'll just move on from there.
Oh, thank God. All right, do you prefer organisation or chaos?
Organised chaos.
Describe the first time you went to a gay bar.
It was in Sydney, and it was at the Albury. May it rest in peace. It's gone now. And I was very overwhelmed because it was at the end of some huge drag rally. And so I was surrounded by 6 feet women with Adam's apples.
You would have fit in perfectly.
Yeah, much later on, yes.
Did you get lucky?
No, I was there with a partner at the time.
So you got lucky. You had a partner.
Yeah, but different. Different kind of lucky, I guess.
Well, thank you very much, Kendall, for joining us on the line.
No worries. Anytime.
That was Kendall, who's thankfully joined us on the Cubby House. If you'd like to be a listener of the week as well, we'd encourage you to join us, and you can get hold of us by, first of all, going to facebook.com/thecubbyhouse, where you can find our SMS topic of the tonight.
Which is, what is your favourite drag name?
We've had some good ones. Craig from Melbourne sent in a couple of good ones. Trailer Park Trash.
Oh, what about Craig, who's got Bang Bangladesh?
And Maxi Shield.
Moga Donna. No, that's a good one.
Yeah, well, we've also got Virginia Ham.
Oh, I like that one. Oh, and Rob. Rob from Victoria. Kitty Litter.
No, Kitty Glitter.
Kitty Glitter.
Kitty Litter.
There's no pun in that.
I'm just getting Rocky to slap you over there.
He can do it with his phallus.
Rob's also sent in Decline, Bon Bon Voyage. And Alex from Canberra's also sent in Prophylactic.
And Amanda Screw.
We've had some good ones. Yes. Jump in while you can, as we said, on the Facebook page.
And if you'd like to stick around, some of those names might actually come in handy with our next discussion with Rocco D'Amore. This afternoon, this evening, and this night, we have this wonderful man who seems to be a lot more butch and macho than all the three of us combined. Hello, Rocco D'Amore.
G'day, how you doing?
All right.
Just a bit of a moment. Let our masculinity combine. Fist bump.
Yeah, okay. Even with all three of us, he's still more masculine than us.
Yes.
We just roll over.
Now, continuing on our discussion, one of the things we would like to ask you is how do you see the interplay between sexuality and drag? Like, as a drag performer, who are you attracted to?
As a drag performer, I'm attracted to anything on two legs.
Right.
With a heartbeat.
Yes, I'm in.
Yeah.
Well, close.
Okay. So, as general drag performances, is there a general rule of thumb that if you're playing a drag queen, you're attracted to men, or a drag king attracted to females? What's the role?
Well,
normally,
you can slap him if you want.
I'm only curious because...
Quiet you. Let her answer the question.
Well, you see, Rocco D'Amore is your quintessential European man. He's smooth as silk, and he's a, womanizer. Mm-hmm. Okay? So he's all about love, regardless of the gender.
Right.
Yes. Is there anything else you'd like to ask me?
Well, just as a question, how many straight men do you know that perform drag on a regular basis? Because it seems something that's quite within the realm of queer culture.
The only one that I can think of would have to be Damon Everidge. Barry Humphries.
Eddie Izzard.
Really?
that drag or is that more transvestitism?
More transvestitism, that word.
Yes.
Jack.
Transvestitism.
Do you happen to know any straight females that do drag kings?
Yes, I have. I've performed with a few straight females that have done drag. One of them has been a woman up in Sydney by the name of Krista Hughes. I've sort of seen her do a drag king show. But it's all about performance. It really doesn't matter about your gender or your sexual preference. It's about the art of getting up there and playing up to the illusion that you are not who you really appear to be.
And, of course, being very funny while you do it.
Of course.
So how far would you go to actually show that you're a real deal male?
Firstly, I go through the three S's. Can I say it?
Well, yes, yes.
As long as you're not swearing.
Shit, shower and shave.
Right.
Then, of course, we have to strap the puppies down.
Mm-hmm.
Then we pack in the confidence and we apply the suit, followed by manicuring the facial hair and finally the hairstyle. And like K-Sara, I believe the higher the hair, the closer to God.
Well, I was just thinking, how about we just hold off a minute, because I want to know all your tips and tricks for would-be drag artists in just a moment here on the Cubby House.
We have Rocco D'Amore in the studio, and he actually does workshops with people to better the drag performances. So let's just do an activity at the moment. Let's just pretend that I'm one of your protégés.
Yes.
That I want to be the next Rocco D'Amore.
Well, you know that's not going to happen.
I'll be better.
That's still not going to happen.
You're not paying enough, Jack. No, you can't pay enough to do that.
Well, I mean, I'm assuming we're going to, you know, not go to the level of surgical requirements, right, Jack? There is a limit here?
There is a limit here. Okay, it's only performance. It's not real life.
All right, so...
Yes. Okay.
Try your hardest. Butch him up.
All right. Okay, so first of all, what we want to do is we want to get you thinking about a name. Come up with a name first, and then around that name, build up your persona.
How, right? would Ginger Snaps do? Well, that's more of a drag queen name.
Yeah. I think it can apply for drag queen as well. Once you've got that down, find a song that resonates with you, okay? And then learn that song inside out. And the best way to do that is in front of the mirror, because the mirror never lies. And then... perhaps go out in drag to get that confidence before you start to perform. And then find yourself a place where you can perform, even if it's in the lounge room to a couple of friends, and give it your best shot.
And where in Melbourne do those spaces tend to be?
At the moment, nowhere.
It used to be Neverwhere, now it's Nowhere.
Yeah, that's true. I used to run All Dragged Up and Nowhere to Show, which I created as a platform, as an open stage for aspiring young drag performers, whether they be drag queen, drag king, or drag anything.
So it would kind of be an open wig night.
Yeah, open wig night, open mo night. Yes, but hopefully I can work on it and bring it back to Melbourne and create a place for anyone to experience that or to get their inner drag.
Okay, so I've got the name, I've got the song.
Yep,
I've prepared myself in front of a mirror. I may have gone out to a nightclub in my drag persona.
Yes,
what do I do now?
The next thing you need to do is perform on stage and you need to find yourself. Try not to aspire to be anybody. Look inside yourself and find who you are.
Well, that's an interesting thing that you bring up. I mean, sure, you've been working with quite a few people.
Yep.
What do people get out of these activities on a personal level?
I would say a sense of relief, a sense of confidence. It could be a sense of somewhat therapy, mm-hmm. quite therapeutic. If the person is questioning their gender identity, well, then that's a forum for them to express that. It's all up to the individual and what they want from it, I believe.
It sounds like it is quite a journey about, while creating this character and learning to perform as this character, you actually learn more about yourself, which is a bit ironic.
Well, yes, because you're there on stage and it is about you. And in that moment, you have the ability in that 3 minutes to actually invite the audience onto the stage, into your space, and take them away with your performance.
Just out of curiosity, have you ever seen anyone who gets up and tries to perhaps relive an iconic character or a diva or the like?
Yes, yes.
Where they're actually trying to recreate somebody else's life through them?
Yes, yes, I have.
How effective has that normally worked?
Well, it all comes down to, their appearance and whether they are pulling off that appearance down to the T. Whether it's, say, for example, someone doing a Cher song from early Cher days, you know, down to the wig, down to the hand movements. Quite often I've seen performers that actually do channel that, and it's great.
Okay.
Yeah. It can work and it can't work.
Yeah, the reason I ask is I've seen a lot of people who have gone halfway.
Yes.
And again, from my own experience, it's always been that halfway level that I don't understand why they haven't gone the full way. Like, they haven't perhaps gotten rid of their beard for some who might have been, only sending it up rather than actual trying to make you believe they are someone that they're trying to act as.
Yeah. Yeah.
I just have to ask, what has probably been the most important life lesson you've learnt through your drag?
It would have to be the confidence to stand in front of whoever it is and just to be myself as I am when I am not in drag. The drag performance has given me so much confidence as a performer and as a person in my day-to-day life.
Now, you mentioned earlier in the show that what a drag queen does is that she plays everything up, but what a drag king pretty much brings everything down.
Yes.
What would a drag king show actually look like?
Well, it can look... I mean, that can vary to the performer. If I'm speaking for myself, it's all about... For me, it's all about the moves, it's about the eye contact, it's about being that typical male, or whether it's a typical male, or just having that sort of masculine approach to how, men carry themselves throughout life.
Mm. But surely all these exercises that you've done would have given you a better appreciation or understanding about just what gender actually is.
Yes, yes. What is gender?
Jack, do you want to ask her a question?
Actually, that was supposed to be a question. As in, how has this changed your understanding of how gender relates to people?
Well, I think these days that gender is really fluid. I think, maybe 100 years ago, it was definitely male-female. These days, it's quite ambiguous, and I think that's a really positive thing and empowering thing, because we don't need to be labelled as male or female. We just need to be labelled as ourselves.
Wonderful. Thank you very much, Rocco. Quickly, is there any other shows you've got coming up in the next couple of months?
Well, I'm currently working on bringing back one of my nights called Kings of Drag, which is... in the works. I've got a gig coming up in midsummer, and I have got a few gigs for the Sydney Gay and Lesbian Mardi Gras in 2012. But it won't be with George Michael this time.
Oh, never with George Michael.
Well, thank you very much for joining us, Rocco D'Amore.
Thank you very much, boys, for having me in the studio.
Now, we've still got our SMS topic going. What is the best drag name you can think of?
One of the responses that we have is Daniel from Greensboro, as I recall. He's got Nancy Pants. I like that one.
Wonderful. Thank you. You can join us at facebook.com/thecubbyhouse. Tonight we've been discussing the topic bending the rules. Yes, drag queens, drag kings, everything drag. And the question we've been asking you on our Facebook and SMS, what is the best drag name you can think of?
There's one that's really good one that came in from Raymond, but I'm afraid to say it in case I say it wrong. It's Cupid Stunt. Cupid Stunt.
Well done, you got it right, Jack. Yes. I was worried there for a second.
We could have been dragged off the air forever. Goodbye, Joy 94.9.
Thanks, Raymond.
I'd actually like to ask Rocco, who's hung around for a few more minutes, your porn name actually sounds like a good drag name as well. What is it?
Okay, my porn name is Penny Kwondong.
Penny Kwondong.
Yeah, how about that?
Yep. Dong.
Dong Jack. Dong.
The penny drops. Indeed.
We love you, Jack.
Yes, yes. So thank you very much for joining us for this last hour.
We've still got 5 minutes of the show, Cookie.
Yeah, don't get ahead of yourself. Jeez.
We don't let them go that easily.
Do you have somewhere to be?
Maybe.
Do you have someone to be in?
Yes, my drag performance is coming up in 15 minutes in other locations.
Yeah, and if they want to find this location...
Which one can they avoid?
No.
So one thing I would like to ask, because we haven't really tackled drag, is why is there such a cripply, ugly relationship between bears and drag queens? Just as our final thought, Cookie, what do you think?
I've actually had a preface with Kay a couple of days ago. A word with K, Sarah. At one point in Melbourne's history, there was actually a time when it wasn't just drag queens and kings and the bears. It was just one huge family. And it got to a point where the bears, once they kind of separated themselves and said, all right, well, we want to be this. And it got to a point where, you know, there was a lot of bad drag or, you know, and whatnot, and a separation was made by one of the establishments that we're not going to allow females in, and that was part of the separation. It was one of the staple points, I reckon, as to why there's such a big separation in today's era.
I think it's a very complex question. It's not something that's going to be answered very quickly. But, Jack, why do you think is one of the reasons that there's such an issue?
I think that one of the reasons... It's complicated because it's difficult. I'm not making sense. Is that because
there's a first.
Because you've got the different groups in the United States and around Australia which have this relationship with drag, which is actually quite positive. But in Melbourne, it's got a lot of tension. It might be just because the bear identity in itself is a bit guarded when it comes to its masculinity, and bears in drag or people in drag might be perceived a threat or undermining it, but that seems like a cop-out, really.
I don't think that's a simple enough answer.
I mean, I'd go with the answer that maybe we haven't had a caliber of drag performance, and it's left a bitter flavour in a lot of organisers and patrons' mouths, and they'd rather go for something different.
Or something that they're more familiar and adaptable to. It's a thought.
I mean, a lot of people have been rather frustrated just because they want to have a night out and they're not particularly interested in watching a person just mime to a song all night.
You don't need to be a drag queen to mime to a song all night.
We deserve better.
Yes. Well, thank you very much for joining us. I will now give people the ways in which they can continue this conversation. It starts with facebook.com/thecubbyhouse. You can come on, see all the answers we've had for tonight's SMS topic and put in some of your own thoughts if you'd want to contribute.
Don't forget to like the page while you're there. We're on 298 likes. Just two more. Two more. And we've hit the 300 mark. That's 100 each. Jack, you're letting the team down.
I'm sorry. I didn't mean to.
Wow. Yes. How else can they get hold of us, Cookie?
You can jump on our blog, which is thecubbyhouse.net.au. You can also email contact at thecubbyhouse.net.au if you'd like to send us through some ideas or thoughts. By all means, we'd love to hear from you.
We love it when you send us messages. It makes us believe that there are people listening to this show right now.
Yes. Of course there are. And what's our topic for next week, Jack?
Our topic for next week is Tales of Transcending Boundaries. When we did this show in our last season, but we're revisiting the theme again. It's people going from where it's safe to the unknown, uncharted territories and all the scary things that happen in the process.
Well, I know I'm looking forward to, you know, reading that script. I'd like to see what you come up with, Jack. I'm sure everyone else does too.
Tonight, it's Good Night from Ellie Vater.
I'm Ginger Snaps.
And I'm Dame Kitty.
Good night, and catch us next week on The Cubby House.
Thanks for listening to another Joy podcast brought to you by Australia's LGBTQIA+ community media organisation, Joy. Help us keep Joy on air. Head to joy.org.au. Joy, a diverse sound for a diverse community.